Welcome, everyone, to What Did I Just Watch? A podcast jumping into the deep end of the multiverse head-on. I am your host, Andrew, and this is episode 92, season series of volume 2, episode 41 for those keeping count. How is everyone doing? Hopefully another great week of movie watching, TV watching, book reading, anything that you enjoy. Hopefully you had a great time enjoying it. So we got a lot to talk about. We got a great and unique As Seen on a Saturday Night this week, so we can't wait to get into it. So without any further ado, let's jump right into the first segment of the evening, and that is our interesting news for the week of February 27th, 2023. And we're going to kick it off with our weekly MCU news, but psych, we got none because this week they didn't have any extra news. So maybe just a little PSA to go check out Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, because that's the Marvel Studios IP that is in theaters right now. So go check it out and maybe check out some of the TV shows that they have on the Disney Plus streaming service if you have that service available to you. So let's jump into some actual film and TV news, and we're going to kick it off with some of the box office news for this past week and some new movies that hit theaters. We got a few that we want to talk about. First one that is in a wide release capacity is Creed 3, and a heads up, we will be talking about it in our not-so-60-second review, so look forward to that later on in this episode. Next movie in a wide release capacity is Operation Fortune, starring Jason Statham and Aubrey Plaza. So we actually saw that, but we're going to be talking about it in next week's episode, so stay tuned for that. So next movie in a wide release capacity is Demon Slayer. At least it is a movie version of this series. And there's a subtitle, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba to the Swordsmith Village. Now, if you're a fan of Demon Slayer, you probably already knew that this film was in theater. So go check it out if you are a fan. And if you didn't know, now you know. So two films that were released that was in a limited capacity that was brought to our attention is Children of the Corn, and from what we understand, this is either a remake or a reboot of the 80s or 90s film. You know, it's a horror movie, so that's a no from us, but hey, if you're a fan of the original Children of the Corn, maybe check those out and you will enjoy it as well. The next one that was released in a limited capacity is RRR to celebrate the film itself for its Oscar nominations and just to conjure up some attention before the Academy Awards are announced, and hopefully it wins the category. We still have yet to check it out, but we will, we promise, and we'll let you know when we do check it out. So let's get into some film news this week. First one is a trailer for Peter Pan and Wendy. So this trailer was a little bit interesting in that with the more recent live-action Disney films, it's looking promising. Now, we were certainly in the small minority that enjoyed, at least we think we're in the small minority that enjoyed the recent live-action Disney films, but, you know, as someone who is not too familiar with the Peter Pan IP, this doesn't get us hyped up, but this does have two people that we are a big fan of and love watching their stuff, and that's Jude Law as Captain Hook and Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell. So those are two people we're actually looking forward to seeing in this film, and hopefully you are too, or if you're a fan of Peter Pan in general, then you can look forward to seeing Peter Pan and Wendy when it debuts exclusively on the Disney Plus streaming service, April 28th, 2023. So the next bit of movie news is another trailer, and it's for a movie called Haunted Mansion, and if you are not aware, it's actually based on the Disney ride in Disneyland or Disney World, but there is a ride, and you can still go on it. We believe it's still in one of them, either Land or World, but we're not too familiar with Haunted Mansion, the ride. We don't remember going on it when we were there, but one thing about this film is that it seems to blend a mix of horror and comedy, which is actually right up our alley because we're a fan of, you know, alleviating the intensity of horrors with some, you know, properly injected comedy. So we can respect that and actually look forward to it. But also another thing is that this film is super stacked with that cast. Rosario Dawson, Owen Wilson, Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Danny DeVito, Jamie Lee Curtis, Jared Leto, Winona Ryder, Dan Levy, and Hasan Minhaj, which is pretty cool. And a little synopsis for this film. In this mysterious adventure, a doctor, played by Rosario Dawson, and her 9-year-old son, played by Chase Dillon, looking to start a new life, move into a strangely affordable mansion in New Orleans, only to discover that the place is much more than they bargained for. Desperate for help, they contact a priest, played by Owen Wilson, who in turn enlists the aid of a widowed scientist turned failed paranormal expert, played by Lakeith Stanfield, a French Quarter psychic, played by Tiffany Haddish, and a crotchety historian, played by Danny DeVito. So, look forward to seeing Haunted Mansion when it hits theaters July 28th, 2023. So the next bit of movie news is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse has found another Spider-Man, and this time they found their Spider-Man India in the form of Karan Soni. And if you don't remember that name, that's okay, but you'll remember his face because he plays the cab driver in Deadpool, the Pinder, aka Deadpool's best friend. And that's pretty cool. We think he's actually really, really funny. He's been strangely sneaking up on you when you least expect it in some movies and TV shows. So it's nice to see Dopinder sneak up on you once in a while. But Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is where you'll be able to see Spider-Man India and a boatload of other Spider-Mans when it swings its way into the theaters June 2nd, 2023. So the next bit of movie news is the cast for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie has been announced. It's actually called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles : Mutant Mayhem, and that's pretty cool. It's the next animated film for the Ninja Turtles franchise, and this cast, super, super stacked. Makai Abbey will be playing Donatello. Shamon Brown Jr. will be playing Michelangelo. Nicholas Cantu will be playing Leonardo. Brady Noon will be playing Raphael, or should we say a voicing. And of course they have to get some star power in this film, and they absolutely did with Jackie Chan voicing the legendary Splinter, their sensei, which is pretty dope. But also not too shabby with the supporting cast of other characters besides the Turtles and company is Ayo Adebari, who will be voicing April O'Neil, Hannibal Buress voicing Genghis Frog, Rose Byrne as Leatherhead, Ice Cube as Superfly, John Cena as Rocksteady, Giancarlo Esposito as Baxter Stockman, Post Malone as Ray Fillet, Paul Rudd as Mondo Gecko, Maya Rudolph as Cynthia Autrum, and Seth Rogen as Bebop. So what a absolute stunning voice cast, and we can't wait because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem will be hitting theaters August 4th, 2023. And actually, the next episode, we'll be talking about the trailer because they'll be releasing the trailer sometime next week as of this recording. So the next bit of movie news is Aaron Taylor-Johnson has joined the cast of Nosferatu. So two things. Aaron Taylor-Johnson is an actor we're big fans of because he played Quicksilver in Age of Ultron. And also, he was recently in Bullet Train, but he is just a great actor in general and someone that we like seeing him in more stuff. So please bring it on. But also, this Nosferatu film, we're not too familiar with Nosferatu in general, but we get the general gist. But it will be directed by Robert Eggers, who recently made The Northman. And if that's any indication of how this movie will go, then we are absolutely tuned in and cannot wait to see his interpretation of Nosferatu. And it will be released sometime when they start shooting, which is scheduled to start later this year. So we can't wait to see what they have for us in terms of more Nosferatu stories. So last bit of movie news is Isabella Merced, who is known for playing Dora the Explorer, but more recently for us, at least in our heads, she played a very key role in Sicario 2, and she'll be joining the next Alien film, and that is actually of significance because we are actually really enjoyed Alien, but more importantly, the person who is going to be helming this Alien film is Fede Alvarez, who actually made a really good Evil Dead film that was released in 2013, and if, again, that's any indication of previous works, then this Alien film will be absolutely wild and very, very interesting. Hopefully gory, because, you know, Alien IP, very, very loyal fan base, so gotta do it right. But if it's in good hands, we would think Fede Alvarez is a good person to give this property to. So we can't wait. Isabel Mossad, a actress that is very, very good, and, you know, go check out some of her stuff. She played Dora the Explorer. It's a very silly movie, but she somehow was able to capture, weirdly enough, the essence of that character, and we really, really enjoyed it. But great actress, and we can't wait to see how this next Alien movie will go, considering the previous two films, which didn't rub people the right way, and we'll see how it goes. We're excited, and let's see how this next Alien film will turn out. So let's get into some TV news for this week, and the first one is a couple of trailers, and the first trailer being the season 3 of Ted Lasso, and we didn't watch this trailer because we are very excited to watch the show. We have to finish watching season 2, we're waiting for the right time to binge, because we know that season 3 might be the last, so we're going to try to binge 2 and 3, even though binging is not a thing that we wanted to do, but hey, we'll work with what we have. We'll see how this goes, because Ted Lasso, one of the most just serotonin-inducing TV shows. It just makes you feel very good when you watch it and give you all that good vibes and feelings, emotions, everything you need to just be a better person. And we just really, really enjoy the show. And Ted Lasso is just very endearing. So go check it out if you're a fan. And if you are all caught up, Ted Lasso Season 3 has a trailer out, so go check it out. But also, Season 3 will be premiering on the Apple TV Plus streaming service March 15th, 2023, and they will be dropping weekly until the month of May. The next TV trailer for this week is The Walking Dead: Dead City, and it's a teaser trailer for The Walking Dead spinoff. This one will be focusing on Negan and Maggie, and very, very interestingly enough, it's going to be quite a watch because of just how these two characters will be together. It's only going to be a 6-episode run and a miniseries, so we can only imagine it will be a limited series of sorts. But we'll see how this goes, because these two characters don't exactly gel together. They're trying to kill each other, or at least one is trying to do that to the other. But if you watch the show or know the history of The Walking Dead between these two characters, then you know that these two characters do not belong together, because they will definitely try to kill one another. But it's going to be interesting. Are we going to watch it? Maybe we'll catch an episode here or there. Negan was one of our favorite characters, and Maggie is the widowed character of one of our favorite characters in the show, Glenn. And we'll see how this eventually turns out. Hopefully, we're going to hope for the best, because these are two characters we enjoy and we want what's best for them, and the two actors who play them we highly, highly respect. So The Walking Dead: Dead City is going to be premiering on AMC and AMC Plus streaming service sometime in June of 2023. So the next bit of TV news is something that is very exciting for us particularly, because the next Pokemon series, or a Pokemon series, has been announced and is going to be a stop-motion animated series. Now, it's going to be released through Netflix, but that's all that needs to be said. Two things that we love, Pokemon and stop-motion. You combine that two together, and it's a recipe of just happy face from us, because we love the world of Pokemon, and stop-motion is very interesting when you account for the cute and kawaii factor of Pokemon creatures. It just makes this possibility of this show very, very endearing, and just something that we can't wait to look forward to. So no release date yet, but there's a slight teaser for what they have in store for us, so we can probably expect it sometime either early next year or late next year in 2024. The next bit of TV news is the Penguin series from DC, a spinoff from the Batman movie, has casted their Salvatore Maroni character, and this is the mob boss that was kind of the head honcho for everyone, including Carmine Falcone, who was played by John Turturro, and also the boss of Colin Farrell's Penguin. And this is going to be very cool because the guy that got to play him will be Clancy Brown. He has a very intimidating and just imposing voice presence, and he's a pretty big guy too. So very, very cool that they got someone of his stature to play someone as imposing as Salvatore Maroni, because he is a mob boss. He's going to be kind of looming over Colin Farrell's Penguin, and he's basically the Penguin's going to need an obstacle to his, or an antagonist to his protagonist in this case, and they found a perfect foil. So we can't wait to see how this goes. We believe that they just started shooting this series, so we can look forward to seeing it maybe sometime early next year or late this year if we're lucky. So fingers crossed, and we look forward to seeing more of this Penguin series in the future. So the next bit of TV news is Star Trek Discovery will be ending with season 5, and it will be premiering sometime in 2024. It was going to be originally be released at the end of this year, 2023, but they pushed it back to early 2024. But hey, good news for you guys. Hopefully they had this planned in the works and that it will be ending on its own terms. Like with any TV show that we always find out is ending, we can only wish that TV show ends on its own terms and is able to neatly tie up all the bows and give you a send-off that is well-deserving, because a TV show is that's not ending on its own terms and ends unsatisfyingly is not a good feeling. You feel cheated because of the investment you made by spending all this time with the show, and to not get something appropriate to your liking, we understand. So hopefully fans of Star Trek Discovery will be pleased with how they ended. So look forward to seeing more of Star Trek Discovery when it hits the streaming service Paramount Plus sometime early next year in 2024. So last bit of TV news is good news for us, because as fans of The Night Manager, it will finally be getting a second season. Now, if you don't know, this is a TV show, limited TV show, that starred Tom Hiddleston as the titular Night Manager. He is a character called Jonathan Pine, and it's cool because this is based on a John le Carré adaptation, or a John le Carré book, and we did not expect for this to be a second season. We were expecting the Night Manager season 1 to be a one and done type thing. We didn't know it was a season 1. It was billed as a limited series. But now that we know that there's a season 2, which will begin filming later this year, we can't wait to see what this suave character of Jonathan Pine has for us, because we love seeing Tom Hiddleston portray this character, and we just love seeing everything in the show because it was showing a side to Tom Hiddleston that we didn't think we'd get to see, a sort of vulnerable character that he plays, even though we kind of got that with Loki. But also, Hugh Laurie was in this in season 1, and we don't know if he will be involved, but he probably won't be because we're reading here that he died. So new challenges, new faces, with the only returning one being Tom Hiddleston, but hopefully not, because Elizabeth Debicki was in the first season, so we hope that she can make her way back into it. But we're looking forward to seeing it. Night Manager, go check it out if you haven't seen it. We believe it is on a streaming service for you to check out, so go check it out if you can. It's a very entertaining TV series. But that is it for our interesting news for the week of February 27, 2023. And let's move on to our next segment, which is our What Did I Just Watch week. And that is a segment where we talk about all the stuff that we watched, consumed with our eyeballs and brains and minds. And we give you our quick thoughts, comments, reactions, and anything we would like to divulge about said thing that we absorbed with our brains and eyeballs. So this week we got a handful of films that we saw. First film that we saw was Cocaine Bear, and we're going to be talking about it in our not-so-60-second review. We're going to try to constrain ourselves because we're probably going to do an SC on a Saturday night for this film in the next season, and we just can't wait to talk about it. It's an absolute great time, so we'll leave it at that. The next film that we saw is Creed. This is actually a lead-up to Creed 3. We wanted to watch the first two films again to kind of recap our story leading up to the end of this trilogy. So, highly enjoyed it. Can't wait to talk about Creed 3 in our not-so-60-second review. But Creed 1 was just, you get to see babyface Michael Jordan and the journey he goes on. Seeing him in Creed 3 was fantastic. So, next film that we saw is Sorry to Bother You. And this film was so weird, but in a good kind of way. And the only unfortunate thing is that there's a name on there that's tainted this film, and the person's involvement is unfortunate, but we only wish that that name wasn't involved in this film. It would have made it much better, but hey, we powered through it, and at least Steven Yeun was in it, and Lakeith Stanfield, who we absolutely enjoy watching, both of them, anything that they're in. But it's a wild film. It's crazy. If you have a chance to watch it, please do. It's definitely not for everyone, but there's a message in there that's subtle, but it will make you crack up when you realize what they're trying to actually say. So next thing that we saw was Creed 2. Again, a little lead up into Creed 3. We wanted to see our recap for the journey that Adonis is going on. But a quick thing about Creed 2 is that Victor Drago is huge. It's so weird that in boxing world, we can't imagine that those two would actually ever really fight, because the weight disparity is so great that it doesn't make sense and it's not fair to Adonis. But hey, it's a movie, it's fictional, and it's entertaining at the very least. So next thing that we saw was Creed 3. We saw this in IMAX, and we'll talk more about it in our not-so-60-second review. So let's get into some of the TV that we saw. So first one is The Last of Us. This is the next episode, episode 7, and we're closing in on the end. It's going to be a very great journey. We're not even going to talk about the contents of this episode, because we might plan on doing a As Seen on a Saturday Night on this first season, but it's just such a great show. If you have a chance and you are watching this television show, and you're wondering where it's based off of or the inspiration, it's actually based off a video game. If you already knew it was based on a video game, then this is all going to be a little bit redundant for you. But we highly recommend you check out the game if you have access to it and if you have the time to play. If you don't, you can watch a probably recap of the video game, but more or less, it's the same as the video game, the structure it's going to. Whether these last two episodes will diverge from the way the video game played out, that's a different story. So we'll have to see to actually compare. But so far, it's pretty loyal to the video game. But if you have a chance, we highly recommend you play the game. It's just something that will only enhance the experience of you watching the show. And if you like the show without having played the video game, and you play the video game, it'll just make you appreciate both of them, vice versa. You'll like the show, and you'll like the video game a lot more. So next thing we saw is the first episode of the True Lies TV show. We didn't know that they made a TV show. We only saw this on the commercial recently. We decided to check it out. It's pretty decent. Not exactly top tier TV, but we highly enjoyed it. A little bit more comedic than we thought it would be, but we'll continue checking it out, see how it goes, and we'll let you know our thoughts on it when we watch more of how the season plays out. So next thing that we saw is a couple of episodes of The Daily Show, this time with guest host for the week is Hasan Minhaj, and that's very cool. He said some things that were absolutely wild, and we actually listened to the first two episodes that he hosted and watched the latter two, but he did some things that were very, very interesting, and we highly recommend you go check it out. At the very least, maybe listen to The Daily Show podcast if you can't watch it, but great stuff. He did some things that were pretty entertaining, to say the least, so we'll leave it at that. So, last thing that we saw this week is Physical 100. If you didn't hear us last week, a little kind of refresher, but this show, super wholesome reality competition show, and very endearing in the form that it's just something like we wouldn't see here. And healthy competition, and just very humble for the most part, and just, it's just great. We only can wish that there would be an American competition show like this, and the only thing we can think of is American Ninja Warrior. But hey, at least we got this, and American Ninja Warriors, that's all we can ask for. It's just nice to see wholesome reality competition shows like this, and You don't see that a lot anywhere, so we're glad that we have this for now. But other than that, that is it for our What Did I Just Watch week. And let's move on to our next segment of the evening, and that is our Not So 60 Second Review. And that is a segment where we talk about a recently released film, whether it is in theaters or on a streaming service, and give our quick thoughts, reactions, commentary, and anything we would like to divulge about said film. This week, we got two films. First one is Cocaine Bear. Second one is Creed 3. So first one we're going to be talking about is Cocaine Bear, and this is a little logline for that film. An oddball group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens converge on a Georgia forest where a huge black bear goes on a murderous rampage after unintentionally ingesting cocaine. So, you've probably seen marketing for this film. We're not going to divulge too much about this film because we're going to save that clear, concise thoughts for when we talk about it in a future episode. But all you need to know is that hilarious, bloody, gory, and the way it treats you is like a roller coaster ride. We'll leave it at that. So, Cocaine Bear is directed by Elizabeth Banks with a screenplay written by Jimmy Warden, and it stars Kerry Russell, O'Shea Jackson Jr., Christian Convery, Alden Ehrenreich, Brooklyn Prince, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., Margot Martindale, and Ray Liotta. And it is available for you to watch in theaters. Go check it out. It is a hoot of a great time, and we promise you will not be disappointed if you see this. If you are, personally come to us and we'll take you to a therapy session together. We'll go through this together. As to why we wouldn't think you find it enjoyable, we don't know, but anything about this film was just entertaining to some degree, and we highly, highly enjoyed it. So next film is Creed 3, and this is a logline for that film. Adonis has been thriving in both his career and family life, but when a childhood friend and former boxing prodigy resurfaces, the face-off is more than just a fight. And again, we're going to be doing this film in a future As Seen on a Saturday Night, but a couple things about this film, we'll try to sum it up in quick small thoughts. Michael B. Jordan, Jonathan Majors, our two favorite actors, at least currently, and that will remain to be seen whether who could dethrone these two in our heads as to who is the best, because we love both of these two. We cannot wait to see more of these two, hopefully together in a film, and we just love seeing every single second of them on screen. We hope they do more stuff, whether it's drama, comedy, sports, anything of the sorts, just do it. Whether TV show even, we'll take it. Anything that they can work together in, or just any work that they do now, it warrants a watch from us. We're going to go through Jonathan Majors' previous filmography and check out everything he's in. Lovecraft Country, The Last Black Man in San Francisco, we're going to go through it all. We absolutely love Jonathan Majors now. He is absolutely someone who is on our radar as if he wasn't in before, but just we can't wait to see Magazine Dreams. We believe that is the next film that will be released starring Jonathan Majors, and he's playing a bodybuilder, so he actually filmed that after he did Creed 3, but we're getting into tangent, but look forward to seeing it. We can't wait to see it. Magazine Dreams is the next film that Jonathan Majors is in. Hopefully you check it out, like we are definitely going to check it out, but we can't wait to see more of these two in anything. So, Creed 3 is directed by Michael B. Jordan with a screenplay written by Keenan Coogler and Zach Baylin, with a story written by Ryan and Keenan Coogler and Zach Baylin, based on characters by Sylvester Stallone, and it stars Michael B. Jordan, Tessa Thompson, Jonathan Majors, Wood Harris, Florian Montu, and Felicia Rashad. And it is available for you to watch in theaters. Go check it out. A great time. And you can definitely see Michael B. Jordan's inspirations and style injected into this film. And we absolutely love him for that. So that is it for our Not So 60 Second Review. And let's jump into our last segment of the episode, and that is our As Seen on a Saturday Night. And that is a segment where we talk about a film or TV season or new to season series volume 2, a film, movie, or TV topic, but also a chance to talk about a specific film or TV show that didn't get the time of day when it was released, and our chance to kind of push it into the spotlight and let everyone know more about it, because it is a film or TV show that we really enjoyed and should deserve more attention. But this week we're doing something a little bit different. Adjacent to a film topic, this will be covering a kind of phase, if you will. And if you can kind of guess correctly, we will be talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, Marvel Studios, Phase 4. Because recently, the Phase 4 came to an end, and Phase 5 has officially started. So we can't wait to start getting into all that property of Phase 5 and a new beginning of a phase. So this week, we'll be talking about all the entries in the MCU Phase 4. We're going to go briefly into each property, just very briefly. And then, of course, we're going to dive into, naturally, some spoiler talk. So please be aware of that if you haven't seen any of the stuff. But it wouldn't be a big deal if you didn't. So the first thing we're going to talk about is all the entries into the Phase 4. Now, most people are selective when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but not us. We watch every single thing first thing it's available, first timing it's available, or first thing we can. So we're going to go in chronological order in terms of release. So first one is WandaVision, a television limited series. Next one is Falcon and the Winter Soldier, a 9-episode run season. Loki is next after that with a 6-episode run, we believe. After that is their first film of Phase 4, Black Widow. After that is their first animated series called What If. We should also mention WandaVision was the first TV series in the MCU. Following What If animated series is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which is the second film of that year. After that is another film in Eternals. And then after that is the next TV show, which is a Hawkeye TV show. And after that, to round out the 2021 year, was Spider-Man No Way Home, a film encompassing all the multiversal needs you ever need. And then kicking off the next year is Moon Knight, a limited TV show. After that was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That was the next film. And after that was a limited TV series called Miss Marvel. And after that was another film, the 4th entry into the Thor franchise, Thor, Love and Thunder. After that was a kind of step in a very interesting direction, which we enjoyed, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, a 9-episode kind of sitcom-like series. After that was a TV special, if you will. It was 40 minutes to an hour, and we kind of really dug the format, Werewolves at Night. After that was the final film, and kind of the biggest entry, or biggest final entry in the phase, which is Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and as a palate cleanser, or epilogue, if you will, the Guardians Holiday Special, also in a special presentation format, to round off Phase 4. So there's a lot to talk about, but we'll try to condense it into specific things that maybe people can relate to or didn't know about, but we'll try to talk about things maybe that you didn't see. So if you haven't seen all of it, then you are in for a joy. If you only watch the TV shows, pay attention to the movies. If you only watch the movies, we're going to get into the TV show. So first thing we're going to get into is all the new and standout characters that we meet. There's quite a lot, but we wrote down a couple that stood out in our eyes. So first one is Wanda Maximoff from WandaVision. It's kind of self-explanatory as to why she's absolutely amazing. Elizabeth Olsen, always a great job. Next is Billy and Tommy. Very important and kind of the crux of Wanda's motivations, and very, very heartbreaking. After that is Sam Wilson, who eventually takes up the mantle of Captain America by the time the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series comes to its 6-episode run, and it's aptly renamed Captain America and the Winter Soldier. The one after that is Sylvie from Loki, and fairly important character because her actions lead to some kind of irreparable damage or reputable damage. And it's going to be interesting moving forward how she's going to handle that, what she did. So we'll see. Consequences. One after that is starring in Black Widow, kind of the second lead in it, Yelena Belova, the Black Widow sister, Natasha Romanoff, and very interesting characters, super hilarious, and we get to see a little bit more of her in Hawkeye as kind of like a epilogue to the Black Widow story, but very, very cool. We will definitely be seeing more of her in the Thunderbolts and in the near future. The one after that is kind of a brief one, T'Challa's Star-Lord, which is a what-if scenario in that animated series, and just seeing what would happen if it was T'Challa who was the one that was in Peter Quill's place instead of Peter Quill. After that is Shang-Chi in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the titular character and a very important presence in the upcoming phases and future films and possibly TV shows, martial artists, and just the prospect of seeing Shang-Chi is just the very cool fight scenes, because a lot of characters so far in the MCU just rely on brute force and not a lot of skill in fighting, with the exception of Natasha Romanoff and Hawkeye, and we'll probably be seeing more of that, less superhero beings and more just cool choreography, martial arts fighting style that we really want to see in the MCU. The two after that is also in the same movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. First one is Shang-Chi's sister, Xia Ling, and very, very cool. Same thing what we said about Shang-Chi, very cool to see someone that will be showing off more choreography and a fighting style that we're not used to seeing in the MCU. And the one after that is their parents, Shang-Chi and Xia Ling's parents, Wen Wu, Mandarin, and played by Tony Leung, and we love him a lot. If you haven't already, give it a listen. We basically fell in love with the character and just an amazing villain in Phase 4 and the MCU in general, but glad the story was started and stopped right there, because you don't want to spoil the way the character was written and tarnish the legacy that it has left in that film. The character after that we want to talk about briefly is Kate Bishop from the Hawkeye series, one of the up-and-coming future important characters and players in the MCU, and we just can't wait to see more of Hailee Steinfeld doing her thing. She's hilarious and really capable of just taking care of business, and we love to see that in our up-and-coming young Avengers, if you will. The following characters after that is two also in the Hawkeye show, one more briefly than the other. The one not as brief is Echo. She will actually be getting her own TV show, and this makes for a very interesting character because she's not as well known to the public or even comic book readers in general, but it's nice to see that she is getting a dedicated show to her, because it brings to light two things: representation for indigenous people and someone who is kind of a amputee. We believe she is a double amputee. We could be wrong, but we do know that she is an amputee of her left leg, and it's just cool to see that that population is being represented, and also it just makes them seem very, very cool, because that even if you are limited to your physical capabilities, that doesn't stop you from doing just very, very cool things, and we like that messaging going on. The one after that just got a brief little limelight in the Hawkeye TV show was the return of Kingpin. That's right, Vincent D'Onofrio is returning as Wilson Fisk, aka Kingpin, and we can't wait to see him wreak chaos, terror, and just mayhem in the MCU. The one after that is a super important one, but also, albeit a little bit goofy, Peter 1, 2, and 3, also known as Peter Parker, and Peter Parker, but Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker, and Tom Holland's Peter Parker. They're all very important. Hopefully in the future they come into a bit more of a play in terms of Tobey's and Andrew's Spider-Man and Peter Parker, but as of right now, a nice little reset button and seeing where Tom Holland's Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man, will go in the near future, it will be very, very exciting. The one after that is Mark Spector in the Moon Knight series and Oscar Isaac, absolutely phenomenal, and again, a very important player, but in terms of how much he's going to show his face, it'll probably be on the more limited side because of how he will apparently be in the shadows as opposed to like a Avengers team-up thing where he'll show up just very briefly and that's about it. The one after that is someone we already mentioned, but the alter ego of a character, and that is Scarlet Witch, the alter ego of Wanda Maximoff, and moving forward, a very, very important character because of how powerful she can be and how much of a threat she could be, because in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, you know that she became the villain, or if you didn't watch it, she became the villain and fully embraced it, albeit for the length of that film. We kind of wish we saw more of her being the villain as opposed to turning around about face in that film itself. So hopefully we haven't seen the last of the Scarlet Witch and her villainous ways, because that motivation is very intriguing as opposed to Wanda Maximoff, because it's a very relatable one in terms of the Scarlet Witch motivations. The one after that is also in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and that is Wong, played by Benedict Wong. And just seeing him becoming more important than ever is very endearing, because he's also Sorcerer Supreme. They just dropped that nugget in Phase 4 like it's nothing and not like a big deal, but it makes a lot of sense, and it's very cool to see that he'll be a bigger player in the upcoming phases to come. The next one was also in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and that is America Chavez, and very important because of her one ability that can kind of lead her to have a target on her back and kind of a just a vital part of the upcoming phases, is that she can just punch her way into the multiverse, and very important feature and power, so we can only hope that we'll be seeing more of America Chavez, because Sochi Gomez was absolutely amazing as her. Next one is a character in Ms. Marvel, and you can probably guess it. It is the titular Ms. Marvel herself, Kamala Khan, and just seeing her play such a endearing character, we can only imagine that she'll grow into the role even more. And Iman Vellani is someone who we think is one of the most pitch-perfect casting since Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. And we absolutely love it. We cannot wait to see just how this road will flourish for her and the road that she has paved for the next 20, 30 years to come. And we cannot wait to see where this journey will go. After that, two characters we want to talk about in the next property is Thor, Love and Thunder, and first one is Mighty Thor. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know what happens to Mighty Thor, but if you haven't, a brief snippet is that Jane Foster becomes the Mighty Thor and embraces that character and mantle, but she succumbs to her sickness in the end and is transferred to Valhalla. Whether we see more of Jane Foster or the Mighty Thor, that remains to be seen. Hopefully for more Mighty Thor, because we absolutely love that character and Jane Foster, and we just want to see more of just someone being a foil to our Thor that we know and love. The other character is Gore the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale in Thor Love and Thunder, and we knew it was a one-off character. There's no way that this character would stay for more than one film, because one, a villain, and not that type of Thanos or Kang the Conqueror type threat, but just very interesting character overall. We wish we spent more time with Gore the God Butcher, but the time we did get to spend with him, super creepy, atmospheric, and just sends a shiver down our spines, and a very hilarious, unintentionally hilarious character at times. The next two characters we want to talk about was in the She-Hulk Attorney at Law series. First one is the titular character She-Hulk, aka Jen Walters. Super hilarious. We cannot wait to see more of her again. And just a breath of refreshing air, or however the phrase goes. But we love seeing that character and just how silly she gets. And one thing we love, breaking the fourth wall. The one of the best things about this series was that she broke the fourth wall like there was no tomorrow, and we love it. We know some people don't, but we love it. So we love it so much. The other character is Bruce Banner. Seeing his next steps in this character is fascinating because we've seen this character for closing in on 10 years. And seeing how he's kind of stepping away from the spotlight and letting Jen Walters take it is absolutely amazing. But we also need a Hulk solo film before Bruce Banner walks into the sunset. The next five characters we're going to talk about is actually in the last movie of Phase 4, and that's Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So, Namor, Shuri, Queen Ramonda, Riri Williams, and Okoye. First one is Namor, and there's not much more that needs to be said that we haven't said in our Black Panther, Wakanda Forever episode in As Seen on a Saturday Night a few episodes back, but we love seeing this character, and we love that by the end of the film, not an outright good guy. Still has some sneaky motivations, albeit very reasonable and justified, that the direction they're going to go in with him, very, very interesting, and we love it, because seeing him just becoming a straight good guy will not fare well for them, because it's too vanilla, and it gives him too much plot armor, and we love seeing just a different take on Namor, and didn't realize he was an anti-hero, so we love seeing that they are actually embracing that route. Next one is Shuri, T'Challa's sister, and she has taken up the mantle of Black Panther after the passing of Chadwick Boseman, and in the MCU canon, the character of T'Challa has also passed away, and it's a very touching moment, but we get to see that this is a different type of Black Panther compared to T'Challa, and that's a little nice spice of life and variety that we are kind of welcoming, and can't wait to see what she has in store for us. So next one is Queen Ramonda, and congrats to Angela Bassett for being nominated for a Academy Award. Hopefully she wins, but one thing that we love was that she delivered what is quite possibly one of the most emotionally charged scene in the MCU and possibly in all of film. And it is in the throne room when she says that she has given up everything, and she's delivered it with such emotion that it shook us to the very core, and we didn't know how to handle it. But we're glad that she gave that performance for that character, and just a nice little bow to that arc of her character. The next character is Riri Williams, and just a little brief snippet on her is that basically she is the next Tony Stark, but she makes it her own and becomes Riri Williams, also known as Ironheart, and we can't wait to see how this character's journey is going to go, because if it's any indication, she might be our new favorite moving forward because of just how much similarities it is to Iron Man, but without all the snarky jerk and egotisticalness that was with Tony Stark, and we love that. So the next character is Okoye, and seeing her evolution in this character is absolutely fascinating because she eventually takes up the mantle of Midnight Angels, and we can't help but imagine that that would just bring her status and importance into the MCU up another level, and that's very good to see because Danai Gurira is a fantastic actress, and we can't wait to see more of her in just anything. So last character we want to talk about is He Who Remains, and you know who he is, aka Kang the Conqueror, and the most important character in the upcoming phases because he will be causing all types of wreckage, mayhem, chaos, and just terror in the MCU for the next few years, and to see that come to fruition is going to be an absolute delight, and we just can't wait to see what Jonathan Majors brings to the table because it can be frightening, but it can also be just a little bit alarming because of how charming he can be as a character, as shown as his He Who Remains performance. But we can't wait to see what they have in terms of Kang the Conqueror for us in the upcoming films, and let's all get ready for this amazing joy of a ride. So a couple things we would just want to talk about Phase 4 in the MCU, and just giving a little brief talking points about it, and it introduces some new characters and the next generation of the MCU characters, like the ones we just named and some of them we just talked about. It's kind of a new beginning, or they are stepping into the spotlight, because the original six, or the OG Avengers, were the main focal point for the first three phases, and the Guardians were not really a part of that, but hopefully we'll get to see them on their own and get more individual attention. So it's just nice to see the focus shift away from those OG six and spread wide and vast into these 20 or so characters, and giving them the attention it deserves, and just being more epic than it can ever be, because what started as a team of six will now probably be a team of 30, 35, or even more, because of the incoming threat that is Kang the Conqueror. So one of the things about Phase 4 was that it's the beginning of the multiverse saga, and because Phase 4, 5, and 6 is apparently going to be the multiversal saga, Phase 4 wasn't really much multiversal at all, with the exception of two films, and that is No Way Home and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Other than that, multiversal didn't really meant anything other than maybe also the What If series, but it was just a way of introducing new characters. So we thought, you know, maybe there's a revelation in a upcoming future TV series or film that all of these Phase 4 properties were just all in separate multiversal settings, and that they're going to be coming together for a multiversal threat in an upcoming film. They probably will, but we'll just like to think that that's our current standing, where the reason why they're so disjointed, or at least the Phase 4 films and properties were so disjointed, was because they were each in their own universe and didn't really have to connect to each other, and they shouldn't. So we absolutely love that. And also, something about Phase 4 that we really, really dug was two things. Is the first showing of a TV show from the MCU, at least their first offering of TV shows, and special presentations. So it was nice to see that they were using different types of format to tell a story, as opposed to a 90 or 120 minute runtime at once, and just separating it into weeks. And it's just nice to see that the different types of storytelling that they're kind of venturing into is very, very cool, and it makes for a lot of viable options for other characters, as where they're not necessarily able to be told within a 2-hour setting, and is better off within like a 6-hour setting split up into 6 different weeks. And just, it's very cool that they have that option now, and we absolutely love it. And one last thing we want to talk about Phase 4 before we move on to the next thing is kind of like a reset back to basics. Something we basically already mentioned is that it's starting small again, you know, with Phase 3 coming to an end, the Infinity Saga, and the Thanos threat eradicated. You know, it's time to go back to a small story, slowly build up these new characters that we're about to meet and are about to team up 5 years from now to face the Kang threat. But just getting to know them a little bit more, little by little, and then building the stepping stones for the eventual team-up films that we'll get in the near future. And it's a very welcome touch, because you forget that Phase 1 and 2 was kind of still about that. Even though Phase 4 ended without a team-up film, there was not really any team-ups per se at all, just people showing up in other properties. But the most proper team-up that we got in Phase 4 was probably Spider-Man No Way Home, and that was just a little minor team up between two characters. But still, it was nice to see that Phase 4 is wholly unique compared to the first three, where it's a absolute complete separate storytelling of these individual characters we'll soon come to love, hopefully in 5 to 10 years time, or maybe 2 to 3 years time, depending on how they want to disperse these characters. So last thing we want to talk about is some of the standout moments in Phase 4, and these are moments that we thought were extremely unique and just made an impact on us as to how we still remembered it. And hopefully you can probably find clips of these online, or you could just fast forward to them if you have access to any of these TV shows and films, and just experiencing it for yourself, because they're kind of major pivotal points in the MCU and will have an everlasting effect and consequence on the universe itself. So first one is Wanda becoming the Scarlet Witch in WandaVision. As we all know, that will eventually lead her to fully embracing that alter ego and that persona in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. The next one is Sam Wilson embracing and accepting the mantle of Captain America. As you know, Captain America was very admired in the universe, and to know that actually no one knows where he went except Sam Wilson, and him not telling anyone is very admirable. And just to him, at first not taking the mantle, but eventually accepting the fact that Steve Rogers chose him, and him being Sam Wilson, so humbly accepting it and fully embracing it by the end of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is very heartwarming. And just hopefully he kind of ventures and makes his own path as his own Captain America, because he will be a very different Captain America compared to Steve Rogers. Next one we're going to talk about is the He Who Remains soliloquy, and it's something about the speech that He Who Remains makes in Loki, his little speech and soliloquy that he says to Sylvie and the Loki that we know and love from 2012 Avengers. But it's kind of haunting and just a kind of foreshadowing of the threats to come, because it's just going to be more of him, variants of him, and some of them more frightening than others, but it's just a little hint of the kind of chaos that will be brewing very, very soon in a few years from now. The next one we want to talk about is probably one of the more bigger and impactful ones on a specific character, and that is a back to basic reset for Spider-Man. Because, you know, the Spider-Man we all know and love, if we're first introduced to it, is a broke college kid who is struggling to balance work life and superhero life. And we see that now. So the next Spider-Man film will pick up, hopefully, where Peter Parker is making ends meet as a photographer at a newspaper company, or maybe as a pizza driver, or just making ends meet with a job and trying to balance that with his superhero duties, and just trying to maybe mend fences, or the proper word is probably get back with MJ, because, you know, he made a spell that made her forget him and everyone else, so no one knows who Peter Parker is, so he has that anonymity as well, so no one knows his identity, which is, again, it all, basically, the Tom Holland Spider-Man trilogy was an origin story for the Spider-Man we all know and love, and now we get to see the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man who has a mysterious identity to the public, and it's very, very cool that they even got there, because by the time the credits roll, we were shocked to realize that, oh, shoot, we were watching his origin story all along, and that he had a journey way before his actual story beginning. The next one we want to talk about is something we already mentioned a handful of times already, which is an unhinged and fully embraced Scarlet Witch, which can be horrifying. Repercussions are hopefully going to come sooner rather than later, because just the very motivation of this Scarlet Witch and the consequences that she could bring can be just universal breaking, and we can't wait to see how that will play out. The next one is Third Eye Strange. So if that didn't make sense, that's okay, but just know that at the end of the Doctor Strange sequel, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange gets a third eye. It's not a good thing. He becomes kind of accepting of it, and it's not a good sign, because it just means that he's dabbling in the dark arts, which is usually never a great sign, but we can't wait to see what that means in the future for this Sorcerer Supreme, or not to be yet Sorcerer Supreme. The next one is also kind of impactful in a way that it can kind of be a closure of a book, but Thor becoming a dad. You know, some journeys end in happiness, and Thor, if it ends here, and if this is how they want to close out Chris Hemsworth's run of Thor, this would be a great way to close it, where he becomes a dad, because it all started with Thor having paternal issues and how he wanted to be accepted by his dad, and now he can be one and see how it was like for Odin to take care of Thor Odinson. And we love that his daughter was actually played by his actual daughter in the film. So next thing is something we already kind of briefly mentioned, which is She-Hulk breaking the fourth wall. You know, the first character we thought would be breaking the fourth wall in the MCU would be Deadpool, but his arrival is imminent, so we'll have to wait for that, but we can only imagine he would break it. But it was nice to see the fourth wall breaking. We're someone who really likes fourth wall breaking in movies because it kind of makes it that much more funny and hilarious in a film. It doesn't break reality for us, but that's just something that we're like to choose a preference for. But something that we want to mention also is a brief fourth wall breaking was also an MCU, not as known to most people, but in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, in the opening sequence where the Guardians are fighting this obelisk or aberrant monster, we're following Baby Groot and he's running around and he kind of runs into the camera. So that was kind of like a fourth wall breaking action, and we thought that was actually pretty funny. So we kind of hope that that is something that they would recognize as fourth wall breaking. We would like to recognize as fourth wall breaking, but hey, it's to each their own. The next moment we want to talk about is T'Challa's funeral. It was sombering. It was something that we couldn't stop crying once we saw it, but it had to be done. It had to be a way to honor Chadwick Boseman, his real life passing, and it sucks to endure, but we have to pay respects to a great man just and great human being that we lost. The next moment we want to talk about is also in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and that is Namor showing Shuri the city or world of Talokan, which is the kind of stand-in for Atlantis, but in this case it's a pretty fascinating world, Talokan, and it shows that they are not to be trifled with and that they can easily overwhelm the forces of the above water surface, whatever you would like to call us, people who don't live in water. And it can be scary, and a war against Talokan will not fare well if played out in the MCU. The next two relates to Black Panther Wakanda Forever as well. First one is Shuri taking on the mantle of Black Panther. We know how important that could be because Black Panther being the ruler of Wakanda is a powerful country, and to have that representation in the MCU can mean a lot because Black Panther is a very powerful character, and to see it being handed to the sister of T'Challa can mean a lot of different things and a different type of ruler than the ones before her. The one after that is the reveal that T'Challa had a son, and it was all the more heartbreaking, and just knowing that his legacy will live on through his son is just heartbreaking, and the story playing out can go many different ways, and we can't wait to see how that journey will play out. If it don't play out, that's also okay, because Shuri is more than capable of being able to show the journey of someone who's grieving over a lost loved one. The next two we want to talk about is kind of a standout moment in terms of just we thought was cool and shocking. First one was in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and just the Illuminati fighting Scarlet Witch and losing very badly. So if you don't know, Illuminati is basically the one of the multiversal worlds, their version of the Avengers, but just calling it Illuminati, and it consists of Supreme Strange, Black Bolt, Mr. Fantastic, Captain Carter, or Captain Britain, Peggy Carter, Captain Marvel, but it's, instead of Carol Danvers, it's her best friend, Monica Rambeau, and Professor X. And it was all the more shocking to see them all taken out with relative ease from the Scarlet Witch, and that just goes to show how much we are invested in Scarlet Witch as a character. But it's just cool to see that scenario played out, even if it's for a short bit. And the last thing we want to talk about was probably something that won't have too much consequences, but it hopefully will be a reminder of symbolizing things, and that is U.S. Agent killing someone with Captain America's shield. And the shot and the scene in play or in question was just amazing in terms of just for iconicness, because it was absolutely shocking to see the shield of Captain America all covered in blood when it was supposed to be a symbol of defense and just not an offensive weapon. And it's shocking to see, but it was a sight to behold because of just how much meaning and symbolism that image represented in terms of just seeing that weapon being used for that purpose. So those are all the things we wanted to talk about. We want to talk about it a lot more, but to keep it brief and dense, hopefully you have a lot more to look forward to. And if you ever want to watch these Phase 4 films and TV shows, you can. We believe most of them are on Disney Plus, with the exception of Spider-Man No Way Home. You'll probably have to buy a Blu-ray or find on a video on demand service. But all these were very enjoyable. Now, we're someone who loves MCU and Marvel Studios, so to be fair, everything that they put out, we will absolutely love to no end. And hopefully you find that sort of enjoyment as well, because we just love the stuff that they make, and we can seem a little biased, but that's just us. You can feel free to call us anything you want, but we just love the stuff that they make, and it just makes for intriguing storytelling because of how they're doing it, and we just can't wait for the upcoming phases and the next few years to come. So hopefully you enjoy that. And before we end this segment, let's talk about some MVPs and some trivia. So off the top of our head, there's probably 10,000 different MVPs, but if there was one standout in this phase, it was Wanda Maximoff, Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, aka Wanda Maximoff, and Benedict Wong as Wong, the Sorcerer, now Sorcerer Supreme. So those two come to mind immediately, but we can probably give or make a case for every single other character, but those two were just someone that stuck out to us. Wenwu, the Mandarin, played by Tony Leung, can also get an honorable mention for that, but it's just a case can be made for every single character, but that will be made at another time. But as for now, those three get our mentions: Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, Benedict Wong as Sorcerer Supreme Wong, and Tony Leung as Wenwu the Mandarin, the real one. So as for trivia, we're not going to go through that list because there's so many, and you can go through some of the ones we talked about in the individual As Seen on a Saturday Night episodes, but you can go look up the film and TV's IMDb page. We're pretty sure they'll have plenty of trivia on there, so go check it out if you are interested. And that is it for our As Seen on a Saturday Night. So before we end this episode, let's talk about this week's charity foundation. So this week is a charity foundation we have talked about many times before and is our usual choice of charity foundation, and that is Save the Children. We've talked about them here very recently and very frequently. So if you want to help us out and support their cause, you can visit their website, savethechildren.org. Donate if you can. If not, learn more about what they do and spread the word about the good work that they do over there. Again, the website is savethechildren.org. Donate if you can and spread the word about their foundation. So thank you again for listening. And if you are new, how are you doing? Thank you for listening. Give us a subscribe and get notified when new episodes drop. That is usually every Tuesday. We have one more episode before the season ends to season 2, and we'll be kicking up season 3 very, very soon. So stay tuned for that. Next episode will be a best of 2022 episode where we talk about our favorite things from 2022 in terms of films. So we can't wait to talk about that. So in the meantime, if you want, you can give us a review and maybe give us a follow on our social media pages. That is at WDIJWPOD on the Twitters and Instagram. We welcome any forms of discussion. Does not limit to just film and TV shows. So we welcome you guys for that. And that is it for this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And before we leave, we'll leave you with this, which is be kind, stay safe, and we will talk to you next time.